Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
Friday night, we had an amazing worship team potluck at our house. And Bob got sick on Thursday, and he was still sick Friday. And I'm like, okay, Beckett, the house is decorated. Everybody's coming. What am I going to do with you? Now, don't tell him this. I had thoughts of shipping him off to church. There's a big old sofa in my office, and I thought, gosh, I wonder if I could just lay him out there and, you know, call him when we're done. I know. Uh-oh. Is it clicking on my earring? No. You know, it's a little tiny thing. This is so sad. Okay, there it goes. I brought a bigger pair, and Cody goes, take them off. Click, click, click. Okay, thanks, Cody. Got one on. Yes, you think I learned after 40 years. Don't come with earrings. So anyway, I could have taken him out there, but, you know, it started at 6:30. I think the last person left about 10, and I'm thinking that probably wouldn't be good. So we put him in the bedroom, closed the door, locked him in there. So we had food, we had games, we're laughing, and I kept going, Bob, you know, Danny brought these really hot tamales. Do you want? Yeah, give me a tamale. So I'm taking food in and out, but he's sick as a dog, not going anywhere. So I appreciate the worship team. They gave him a week off this week, but yeah, they were here this morning. Shemaine just picked it up and off they went with it. But Bob started a sermon series last week on scandalon. How many of you were here? And it's the trigger. Scandalon is the Greek word for the very trigger in a trap that snares that animal or a person. It can snare us if we take the bait. So what happened was, interestingly enough, Bob got snared. He no longer attends football games because he's been highly offended. So I thought I'm just going to read you what has offended him about football games. Are you ready? So these are 10 reasons why Pastor Bob quit attending football games. You ready? Okay, don't pick up the offense. Number one, the coach never came to see me. Number two, every time I went, they asked me for money. Number three, the people sitting in my row didn't seem very friendly. Number four, the seats weren't comfortable. Number five, the referees made a decision I didn't agree with. Number six, I was sitting with hypocrites. They only cared about the halftime show. Seven, some games went into overtime and I was late getting home. Eight, the band played some song I'd never heard before. Nine, the games are scheduled on my only day to sleep in and run errands. And number 10, since I read a book on football, I feel I know more than the coaches. So that's why Bob no longer attends football games. He's taken up a defense. But, you know, seriously, when we talk about offense, this is such an important topic because people have had consequences from being offended, taking that offense and putting it in their heart, and it has affected the rest of their lives. And the Bible says this, Bob shared this verse last week, offenses will come. You will be offended, but we have to learn how to get over them or they will stumble you up and ensnare you and trap you just like an animal. And I have a story. It's not a fun story. I hate starting off on the negative, but there was a girl that used to attend our church. I'm going to call her Jane. Whole family went here. And, you know, if you know Bob and I, we are terrible on vacations. I mean, we flunk vacation 101. We are always here. We live at church. But we needed a vacation. So we're on our way out of town. Like, we are out and moving at a fast speed. And Bob gets a phone call from this gal. And she says, hey, Pastor Bob, my sister just died. She lives down by San Diego, and I want you to do the funeral. And Bob said, you know, I am really sorry. We are, like, out of town. We won't be back for a few days. I can't do the funeral. But you know what? There's three other amazing pastors at our church that can do that funeral. No, I really want you to do my sister's funeral. And Bob was so nice. I was there. We're in the wilderness truck. He goes, I really can't do that for you, Jane, but please call the church. There's three other pastors. Here they are. They can do it. No, I only want you. So guess what happened? She was offended, and she got mad, and she and her family left our church. So about once or twice a year, I mean, it had to be the Holy Ghost. I call her up. I go, Jane, you know, how you doing? We miss you. They never plugged in anywhere else. And I said, we're having this amazing women's event. Come, and I'll buy your ticket. Or we're having a barbecue or a special speaker, whatever. I did this for like about 5 years. And finally, there was a day, and I thought, this is going to be my last phone call to her. I just can't keep doing this. She doesn't want what I'm offering her. So I called her up one more time. How you doing? We're having whatever event and blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, I'm not going to bother you anymore. You know, I know you're doing your own thing, and I just wish you well. And she kind of hesitated, and she said, you know, I got to tell you, I never thought this would happen to me. And I said, what? And she said that I would be offended, that I would leave the church I loved, and I would never come back. It affected the whole rest of her life. She's dead now. But it was sad. I really felt for her. But you know what? Everybody has a choice. Amen. We all have choices. You can be offended. You can keep that offense. And what we're learning is how to get on. What do you do to move on from an offense to, like, grow as a believer? If you were here this summer, Bob and I did a whole series on spiritual warfare. We kind of team taught. And one of the verses that we put up that I love is this one, John 10:10, where Jesus said this, "The thief cometh not but to what? To steal and to kill and destroy. But I, Jesus, am come to give you life and to give it more abundantly." Amen. Now, here's the key word in that. Put up that next overhead, would you, Eli? That word, let me get it. The word steal in the Greek means klepto. Klepto. And when I read that this summer, I'm studying my little concordance, I went, oh my gosh. Of all the words Jesus could have used to describe Satan and describe stealing, there's a lot. He uses the word klepto. And if you study kleptomania, person who is kleptomaniac, they are so good at what they do. Before you know it, they have stolen your stuff. That's why they're labeled that term. And so here he is. He says, Jesus is saying Satan is a klepto. He wants to come. He wants to klepto your joy, klepto your relationships with your family. He wants to klepto your finances, klepto your job, klepto your purpose in life. And before you know it, those things are gone. And you go, just like this girl, Jane, before she knew it, 5 years had gone by. And what had happened? He had stolen her relationship with people here, her church life. It just ebbed away because she could not get over an offense, couldn't get over it. Now, a couple weeks ago, I taught, and I gave you, I handed out, actually, a list of, what do they call it? A bucket list. Remember that? On a form. I'm going to show you three again because you know what? These are things that we need to hang on to. Like, where do you want to go in life? Because I hope that as we go into the new year, you're going, man, I'm getting rid of offenses, bitternesses. I am moving on. I want to go for it. And we're going to talk about today what it is. Okay, give me that first one, Leilani. I don't want to live my life not having taken enough great risks. How many of you want to be a better risk taker? Not everybody. Reggie, is your hand up? Okay. You're like, I'm not sure. Okay, I don't want to live my life not seeing the kingdom of God come with greater power in my life. How many of you want more power in your life? Boy, I do. And the last one I'm going to put up, I don't want to live my life cautiously rather than boldly. Listen, time is short. I want to get out there and be bold at whatever I'm doing, day at a time, week at a time, month at a time. Because the thing is this, these things represent a journey. And this is a journey that I don't want to miss. So I don't care how old you are. Is Nate here today? Our 93-year-old guy. If you're living and you're breathing here, you are on a journey. It never quits until the day you die. So here's the thing. When you study the Word of God, there are amazing men and women that we can, I mean, the good, the bad, the ugly. You know, pick who you want and go for it. But there's one guy, and you'll never, everybody goes, I love Peter. I love Peter. I love Paul. He's such a brain. But there's this one person that, for me, stands out for the journey that he took and where he ended up. It was fabulous. And I look at this man's life, and I'm going, you know, I want to do that. That's the journey I want to take. And it was Elisha. So we're going to just talk really quickly about Elisha. How did he start out, and how did he end up with a double anointing? Not just the anointing. He had a double anointing. So here's this guy. Elijah tells us he's out plowing his daddy's fields one day with oxen. And Elijah shows. I wish they would have named him Tom and Dick or something, you know. Elijah shows up, and the Spirit of the Lord just prompts him, throw your mantle over Elisha, because he's going to be your disciple. He's the one I'm going to give your ministry to. So he does. Elisha accepts the call, and he had exactly double the amount of miracles that Elijah had. Elijah had 14, Elisha had 28. So he follows him, and off they go. So we're picking up our story, 2 Kings 2:1. Here's where it starts. Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Off they go for the beginning of their journey. Now here's what Gilgal means. It is the place of faith. It's the first step in a walk with the Lord. Because you're saved by faith. If you want to please God, it's impossible to please him, it says, without faith. If you want to do mighty signs and wonders and miracles, you've got to have faith. You've got to have faith. See, this side got it. Now you guys, you got to have faith. And when you read about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, you know where the first place they landed after they crossed the Jordan? Gilgal. They've been in the wilderness, they've been in bondage, and God brings them through. You have to have a starting point, a launching point, and it's Gilgal, it's a place of faith, and that's where they ended up. That's amazing. So if you're here today and you got saved in front of a TV, watching Billy Graham or TBN or somebody, that's your Gilgal. If you went to a church and you got saved, that's your Gilgal. If you went down to the beach and somebody, Hale Brederson, if you ever remember that name, used to go up and down the beach witnessing to people. If you got saved like that, that's your Gilgal. Once you were not in Gilgal, and then you start, and off you go. So they do that. So, but here's the thing. We're not camping there. You don't stay in Gilgal. Say that with me. You don't stay in Gilgal. We're not camping. So verse 2, Elijah goes to Elisha. He says, listen, I want you to stay here because I'm moving on. So his response is this. I've studied. I read the Hebrew. I read all these different translations. The Beckett translation is the best one for the answer. Are you ready for this? Because this is what Elisha said to Elijah when Elijah said, stay here. You ready? No way, Jose. Okay, say that with me. No way, Jose. I'm not staying here. I'm not staying in Gilgal when you're going on to Bethel. Because here's what Bethel means. Bethel is the house of the Lord. In other words, it's this. It's church. Right. Yes, and it's a dwelling place. Bethel represents church. Now listen, I hear people all the time say this. They get an attitude like this. Well, I don't have to go to church to be saved. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And I want to go, good thing, because so many people are camping in Gilgal this morning. I told them backstage, I go, people are home this morning eating waffles, snowboarding, they're at Disneyland, they're shopping, they're in Gilgal. They're not making the transition from just getting saved to moving on and planting themselves in the house of the Lord. They're staying in Gilgal. And what did Jesus do? It said he went to church as was his custom. It was his habit. He went all the time to Sabbath. So here's the thing. If you want to be equipped and encouraged and empowered and grown up and matured is growed word, grown up, you have to go to Bethel. You can't sit in Gilgal. It just won't happen by magic. Now, let me show you this verse. This is Psalms 92. You're going to love this. Here we go. Those that be planted, say planted. Planted. Go, I'm planted. Okay. Planted in the house of the Lord shall what? Flourish. Go like that. Flourish. Okay. Flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. I love it. And they shall be fat and flourishing. So say this with me. I want to be fat and flourishing. Come on, ladies. This is the time to do it. If you're ever going to be a little chubby, I'm going to be fat and flourishing. Now, here's the old age thing. I think you're as old as you want to. Thank you, Debbie. I think you're as old as you want to say you are. Now, I have to tell, where's my son-in-law? Steve. Steve comes into my office last week. He's talking. We're talking. And I don't even know if you remember this. He goes, well, I was talking to this lady this week, like this older lady, like in her 60s. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Okay, so I never mind telling people how old I am because I found out if you don't have birthdays, you're dead. I'm 67. Yeah. So I'm 67, and he's telling me, he talked to this older lady in her 60s, and I want to go, ugh, my gosh, what is he thinking? But I didn't let on, did I? I was cool as a cucumber, but I'm going, oh, my gosh, you big turkey. You think people in their 60s are old? You wait till you get there. So, but the good news is I'm going to bear fruit in my old age for the next 20, 30, 40 years, however long I live. So claim it. But here's the key. Are you ready, Steve? Are you listening here? See, you always embarrass me. I'm putting you on the spot. You have to be planted in the house of the Lord. It doesn't say those that attend church will be fat and flourishing and produce. It says if you're planted. So you can come and go all you want, but I'm telling you, if you're not getting regular teaching and fellowship and plugging in, you are not going to be fat and flourishing, and you're not going to have fruit in old age. That's the verse, not me. And the interesting thing, give me that next overhead, would you? That word planted actually means transplanted. Boy, you could do a whole sermon on this. The New Testament has a verse about you've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and planted into the kingdom of his dear son. That word is transplanted. So I don't care who you are, you all had a day that you started in Gilgal and you were transplanted from darkness into light. That's it. It's a transplant word. It's the coolest thing. So we're moving on. So they go to Bethel, they get that foundation, they're grounded and rooted in the things of God. And so Elisha goes back to Elijah and goes, I want you to stay here because now we're going to go to Jericho. And you know what that darn Elisha says? No way, Jose. I'm not staying here. Why would I want to stay in Bethel when you're moving on to Jericho? Now here's what Jericho represents. It's coming. It's the place of warfare. Listen, if we don't learn to stand and fight for the things that God has for us, you're going to lose it. You will be offended and not be able to get over it. You will have bitterness come. You'll have Satan want to klepto everything you have, and you won't know how to go, you know what, Satan? You are not taking my stuff. I mean, sometimes we just have to get kind of rowdy with that. But that doesn't happen in Gilgal. It doesn't happen in Bethel. It happens when you learn how to do spiritual warfare. That's why we had a whole spiritual warfare series this summer. We don't want to stay there. And when the children of Israel, remember when they crossed the Jordan, they went to Gilgal, but God eventually took them where? They had to go through Jericho. They had to learn how to do spiritual warfare. It's how we grow up. And if we want more anointing in the end, it doesn't happen sitting in Gilgal. You've got to learn how to fight for what you want before God puts you out there. So the problem is this. You all want to know what the problem is. It got real quiet. The problem is this. We all want it to be comfy. Now here's what it looks like. Give me that picture. This is our plan for our life. You know, slight incline, we're going towards the finish line. We're just like a walk in the park, just skating along. But here's God's plan for our life. That's it. Now, the good news on that is this. Notice it's an uphill. You're moving up to victory. Now go back to the other one. Okay, see that? Say this. Boring. Boring. Go back to the other one. Oh my gosh. Now listen, this is where you have victory after victory after victory, and you start building those spiritual muscles. And you go, it's like David. I can take Goliath. I took a lion. I took a bear. I know how to do this. He was versed in spiritual warfare. He knew how to put on his armor. You know, I was talking to a gentleman over here. I love telling my testimony. 2 years ago, I was sitting in a little seat down there with no hair and weighed 110 and dying of cancer, stage 4. Metastatic bladder cancer, it was everywhere. My lungs, my liver. I told him, I said, my doctor said, don't even do chemo. You're not going to make it. You're just not going to go home, enjoy your family. 3 to 6 months to live. Ruth came to my house every Monday and did yard work for me, and I'd come out like this. Hi, Ruth. I mean, I look worse and worse by the week, and you guys were all praying for me, but I knew what to do. It's like I didn't get this terrible diagnosis and go, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to me? I mean, Bob and I, right away, we'd been to Gilgal, we'd been to Bethel, now we're in Jericho, we know how to fight. I told my doctor, don't even talk to me about it because poor guy, I've talked to him since. You're that girl from Himmet that said God was going to heal her. I go, that's me, I'm still around. I talked to him in April. But he literally, that's the journey. So literally he told me, go home, there's nothing more you can do, don't even take chemo, just enjoy your family. I said, stop, don't even talk to me. I said, God wants me to live. I'm going to live. I'm not going to be dying of cancer. He goes, no, you need to hear this. And he starts again. I go, no, I don't need to hear this. This is not good for me. Here, I got my little phone. Tell my husband, because I knew it wouldn't be good to put that in my spirit. I knew God was going to heal me. So we talk every year now. It's kind of fun. But that's how we do it. Now, to update this a little bit, are you ready for some really cool pictures? Yeah. Give me that first picture. This is what we want to do. How many does that look so fun? Give me the next one. We just want to walk on that. Look at that. Give me the next one. That is not spiritual warfare. That's a nice day at the beach. Give me the next one. Ow. This is the grand adventure. This is like risking and being bold. Give me the next one. Oh, my gosh. Would God ever have me do that? Yeah. This is the picture where you walk up to the guy at the mall who's begging money. You go, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That's that. Give me the next one. Oh, my gosh, look at that. She's putting it out there. Give me the next one. These are amazing. This is the journey that God wants us to take, not the boring one at the beach. One more? Yes. You know what? Have you ever had a really hard day, but you just went through it and went through it and went through it? You have dinner, you take a shower, you collapse in the bed, but you go, man, that was a good day. You know what I'm talking about? Compared to times you nerd on the sofa all day because you just feel like nerding, and then you go to bed and go, this is really a crummy day. You know, I did what I wanted to do all day, but it was a nothing day. Man, I would rather have that any day of the week. Go for the grand adventure than just hanging loose. I had a week this week. If you knew me, I've been telling a few people, it's like, pray for me. We had Wednesday night thing. Usually we have worship practice. We had everybody at my house on Friday with Bob in the bed. They called me for jury duty this week. I'm going, can this get any worse? They want me for jury duty at Christmas time? You've got to be kidding. And then Bob ends up sick, so I'm looking at him Friday morning going, how are you? But he's on the bed. He has a little, don't, is this, I hope he's not watching this. He has this little bag with all this tissue in it that he's stuffing it in. He blows his nose and stuffs it in there. I'm like, oh my gosh, my house is infected. But it's like, you think you're going to be doing Sunday morning? I get that. I don't think so. Okay, well, what do you think we ought to do here? You know, so then all over the different plans, but that's when plan B becomes plan A. God knows it's going to happen. I called up Shemaine on Friday. Hey, you ready for a really cool ministry opportunity? Like, yeah, that's that. That's the picture of going up and down. Yeah, maybe. Okay, well, here's the deal. So off we go. I mean, let's take advantage of it. God knew this was going to happen. It's the good stuff. Now, here's the problem. We have to keep learning and learning how to wield that sword and that shield because of this verse. Give me the next one out of Peter. 1 Peter 5:8. Your adversary, the devil. Now say, your adversary. Okay, point to that person next to you and go, your adversary. He is your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, what is he seeking? What is he looking for in you when he's looking at you and you and you and you and you? What is he looking for? No. He's looking for kinks in your armor. He's looking for anywhere you would have had an offense and going, I'm not going to forgive. Bang, he's nailed you. You're that girl I talked about. She never did get back to church because she never could get over that offense. Satan snared her and took her down. It's our choice. He's looking for kinks in the armor. And you know, I tell people, I go, oh, I'm smarter than Satan. I'll never fall for that. Listen, you don't know how long he was in the Garden of Eden doing his thing. I mean, people think they read Genesis 1:1, they go, oh, 1:2, that he's in there. He talked to Eve and down she went. He could have been talking to her for 100 years. We don't know, but little by little by little. So it's fine like Eve. I mean, they had a relationship. They're talking for pity's sake. Have you noticed that tree over there? Oh, yeah, we're not so, no, really? So he, and she said, it says she looked at that tree, and when she saw it was good to eat. So obviously they've been talking. Yeah, you know what? You're right. That tree's good to eat. I think I'll have some. And all over these thousands, he talked a third of the hosts of the heaven into falling and coming against Jesus. And he's been working on mankind ever since. And you know what? He's really, really good at what he does. He's greater than you, but he's not greater than Christ in you. That's the key. That's the key. Okay, and I always tell people this. You know, Satan doesn't want to get you down. He wants to keep you down. It isn't that we're not going to ever be offended. Of course we're going to be offended. Bob doesn't go to football games anymore. He's going to get over it. But he wants to keep you down. Hosea says this. Hosea 4:6 says, my people, say my people, perish for lack of knowledge. That's God saying this. My people are perishing because they can't go to Bethel and get plugged in enough and seated enough and grounded in a church and do something that they're perishing. My people are perishing. So here's the thing. You start off at Gilgal, then we go to Bethel, we get planted in a church, then we learn how to do praise and worship, we learn how to stand for the things that God's given us, and what's next? All right, this is it. This is the cherry on the cake. Are you ready? Okay. So Elijah goes back to Elisha, and he goes, I want you to stay here in Jericho. I'm going to Jordan. So what is, gosh, those guys' names. What does Elisha say? No way. No way, Jose. I'm not staying in warfare my whole life. I mean, you want to come out of that eventually and go, I have the victory. I've got it. He's no longer kleptoing all my stuff. I'm moving from victory to victory to victory. So here's what it means when you go to Jordan. It means possession, revival, blessings, new vision, and fresh anointing. Wow. Anybody here not want that? That's what you get when you've been through all these three stages and you're finally moving into Jordan. You're possessing the land. When Jesus went to the Jordan, what happened? The Holy Spirit came down and anointed him. So that's where Elisha finally tells Elijah, I'm asking for a double anointing. I want a double anointing. And you know what? He got it. But he couldn't have got it staying in Gilgal, staying in Bethel, staying in Jericho. He had to go through all those three things to go, I'm ready. I'm ready to take that anointing and run with it. Who doesn't want that? Now, here's why you want the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks yokes. If you want to see people's lives changed, do we want to do that? Yeah. You want to see people get set free and saved? It comes with the anointing. And here's what all that brings. Give me that overhead, Leilani. It pushes us to believe for the impossible. It challenges our comfort zones, and it compels us to take risks. Now, let me do that one at a time, because I'm going to put you guys on the spot. Does anybody here not want to do the impossible? Does everybody here want to do? I want to do the impossible. I want to get, if I need to ever get healed again, I want to do that. Everybody want challenge out of your comfort zones? A few do. If you want challenge out of your comfort zone, put your, that's where you go start praying for people out of the box. And it compels us to take risks. How many want to take risks? I do. Come on, you want it. You can either do the straight line, and you know what a flat line is when you're hooked up to a heart machine? You're dead. I want to do the trip. I want to be hanging from the rock. So here's the thing. Yeah, we'll talk later. You want to be hanging from the rock, poor Ruth. Ruth needs some inner healing here. But here's the thing. Moving forward is challenging. I get that. You know, what I'm telling you this morning, I know a lot of you are going like, I don't think I want to do half of that stuff she's talking about. But here's the thing. You can keep plowing your daddy's fields your whole darn life, and you suck in your last breath and go, what'd you do? I plowed fields from morning to dawn, ate dinner, went to bed. Man, I don't want to do that. I want to move on. I started in Gilgal. I'm planting in a church. I'm doing spiritual warfare, and I'm going to move in the anointing. I want more anointing. It's time we get out of those bleachers, down into where the game is, and get involved in stuff. It's like, well, what should I be doing? I don't know. Go out to the nursery and hold a baby. Help him out there. Go sign up to help with the Sunday school class. Kenny and Stephanie are out doing junior high, high school. It's like, oh, junior high, high school. They need help out there. Leilani and Brad are running young adults. Fino's heading up ushers. Penny's doing greeters. Frank's wearing a million different hats, running all over. Plug into something. Go help them with coffee. Get here early. Buy coffee and buy coffee for somebody else. There's so many things we can be doing. Buy one of the red bags. I'm planning on getting a couple of those and stuffing mine full of all sorts of good stuff and going looking for people. Get my earring. Get a couple cards. You know what? There's 500 of these babies. Get 10, 20 of them. Hand them out in your area. Just do something. We're going to take this valley. We're going to take it. So one more overhead I want to show you, and then we're out. Ready? It's impossible, said pride. Oh, it's risky, said experience. It's pointless, said reason. Give it a try, whispered the heart. Now leave that up there. Give it a try. Here's the thing. You can be pride, you can be experience, you can be reason, but you know what? I want us from our heart to go, I have neighbors that aren't saved. Our community isn't saved yet. We've got a lot of work to do in this valley. And all I say is, give it a shot. What do you have to lose? And so this morning, if you're here and you're going, yeah, I'm kind of sporadic, I'm still in Gilgal, then let's take one giant step forward and move from Gilgal to Bethel. Get planted in the house of the Lord. Just be a family member and do something. Wash the dishes, fold the laundry. This is what families do. And if you're planted in the house of the Lord, if you're going to be taking captives, then we have to go to Jericho. So go, you know what? I'm going to do the spiritual warfare thing. I'm going to learn to stand. I'm going to fight. I'm going to put that armor on. I'm going to get that, what's it called? The sword, the shield, the whole bit. I don't want to miss a thing because, you know, one armor piece that you don't miss, that's where Satan hits you that day. You don't have truth on you. Guess who's ringing your front doorbell that day? Yeah. Really? Has God said? What's your church teaching? The Bible's the only way? Yeah. And if you don't have truth on, down you go. And if you've done all that and you want that double anointing, you want to go to Jordan, it's like, yes, we need people there going, I've got the anointing. I'm going out into the mission field as soon as this is over, and I'm ready to hit it. Who doesn't want that? There are people here this morning. I was praying about this last night. I just went over my notes. And I went, God, you know, what do you want to tell these people? And I wasn't going to share this, but how many of you heard of the guy John G. Lake? Remember him? He's long dead. Spokane, Washington. He's buried there. He was an amazing, just a man of God and healed people. And he had one of those rare lives that come about like every 500 years or something. Just people studied his life. And one time I read that there was a big conference in America somewhere, and his son was there. And all these pastors kind of corralled his son. And they said, we want you to tell us the secret of your father's life. Because then he raised the dead. He did amazing things. Yeah, I mean, read on his, if you want to be inspired, read on the life of John G. Lake. And so all these pastors are asking his son, what's the secret of your father's anointing? And he finally said, you guys don't get it. My father just didn't have the Holy Spirit. He was possessed by the Holy Spirit. I read that. I want to do that. But it seems like we do this. We're kind of in and out of the anointing. You know, we're over here, then we're over here going, come on, God, I'm going to go over here now. Man, you got to go on this side. Go, I am going for it. Holy Spirit, possess me. That's why, you know, I know we're bad on vacations, but I love it. I wouldn't want to do anything else. 24/7. God, possess me, because there's just so much to do. Or not enough time, not enough people. It's still the same 2,000 years ago as today. A huge harvest out there, but the workers are few. We've got to get out of the pews. We've got to get that anointing and get out into the community. So what we're going to do this morning is this. If you are any of those four things, we're not going to have you down. It's something you got to do. So if you're in Gilgal and you want to go be planted in the house of the Lord, I'm going to pray. If you're planted in the house of the Lord and you just don't want to do spiritual warfare, but it's like it's time to go, I've got to do that. I've got to fight for what I want. That Satan's going to klepto everything I have. Yeah, he will. And if you've been doing that and you go, okay, I'm ready for more anointing. I want a double anointing. Oh my gosh, how awesome is that? I'm going to have you stand up. We're just going to pray over those areas. So if any of those areas are you, just stand up and we're going to pray. If you're in Gilgal and you want to go to Bethel, if you're in Bethel and you want to go to Jericho, if you're in Jericho and you want to go to the Jordan and get more anointing, just stand up. Okay, just put your hands up. Father, in Jesus' name, you know why each of these people have stood this morning. Father, first of all, for the ones that are in Gilgal and they're going, you know what, I'm saved, but I'm really not plugged in. I want to take one step forward. I want to go to Bethel. I pray for them. Father, plant them in the house of the Lord. Grow them up. Give them the foundational issues. I pray they know truth. They know how to do forgiveness. All that you would have us do, the basic things, that is what they're committing to. And Father, for the ones that are standing that are in Bethel, and they go, you know what? I'm planted here. I just know there's more. I keep losing stuff. I need to know how to forgive. I need to fight for what I have. Lord, move them over into spiritual warfare. Teach our hands to do war. Holy Spirit, give us opportunities to grow in you and to stretch that muscle and to grow that muscle in Jesus' name. And for the ones that have been to Gilgal and they've been to Bethel and they've been to Jericho, Father, we want more anointing. Send us over to Jordan. And Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would fall on us, that we would get that anointing that breaks yokes. We would get that double anointing. Father, as we reach out, that you would give us divine opportunities, that we're not going to walk by one person that needs prayer, that needs a handout, that needs an encouraging word, that needs a word of prophecy, that needs a word of wisdom. They need the Holy Spirit to come down. That there are some of you here this morning standing for that. And in your work, you have been timid. I know you're here. And God is saying to you, it's time to open your mouth. You can do it at your work. You can do it at the water cooler. You can say it at lunch. But there are people that are looking to you, specifically wondering why you've never said anything. If that's you, take it and run with it. Take it and run with you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's some of you here that have stood up to be more plugged into Bethel, and you're wondering, where do I get started? Come talk to me afterwards. There are a million ways to get started, but don't walk out of here without doing something. Just do something. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this group of people. We are taking your word this morning. We are not easily offended. We are guarding our stuff, everything that you've given us, and we're moving on in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, one more minute. Don't